Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. Glad to have you today. We got an exciting show for you. We got a guest in the studio. We got a pastor here with us from Southern Illinois. He's about 2.5 hours from where I'm sitting. I'm going to introduce him in just a minute. He's got a brand new book that I want to share with you that I'm really excited about. And it's got something to do with the church and Israel and the family of God. But let me start off with a verse here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 15, and then we're going to bring him in. It says this, here we go. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church is not the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the word of God, which is the truth. So it's important to understand that. And so we're going to bring him in. We're going to talk about the family of God, the church, what the rapture has to do with all this, what's Israel got to do with it all. I think you're going to find it very interesting. So stand by. Hey, welcome everybody. I'm your host, Brother Dan Godin. We have a guest in the studio today. We've got Pastor Mitchell Sanderson, right? I got that right,
yes,
Sanderson?
Sir. Yes, sir.
And our audience doesn't know you. You've written a book called The Mystery of the Triangle. She'll put that up in a little while here. And we're going to discuss some important things in your book. I really enjoyed this. But they don't know you, most of my audience probably. You're in Troy, Illinois?
Yes, sir.
Where's that near?
It's the Metro East area. It's just west, about a half hour from the Missouri state line, over in North St. Louis area.
Okay, so it's
on 5570. There's an interchange there with a bunch of gas stations and things.
Right, so you're pretty close to St. Louis, or where you cross the bridge there, arch and all that. You're a half hour from the arch, probably.
Well, the North Bridge, the 270. We're closer to that than we are the Poplar Street. You got to go a little farther that way.
So you're up above 64? Is that what you said?
Yes. Okay. We're above 64.
All right.
And we're more on 70.
Okay. 2.5 hours from our studio right here. And so what is it you're doing and how long you been there?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I'm at First Baptist Church in Troy, Illinois. I've been pastor there for about 20 plus years. I got a nice small work there. But because of my background, because of where I went to college and who my pastor is, I've been taught these certain principles about the triangle. And I use a triangle to explain, because a lot of times you try to tell people what the church is, they get a little confused. Tell people what Israel is, they get a little confused. You say family of God, they get totally off.
Yeah.
They get really confused. So the triangle kind of sets things up to show you three distinct entities and how they work together to fulfill the will of God.
Can we put that up? Because that's a good time to put that triangle picture up there while you're explaining this. Because isn't it true that most people, when you mention the family of God, don't most people think, well, the church and the family of God is the same thing? Accurate there, right?
Well, they like to supplant the idea of the universal church and the family of God. The problem is when you use the title, it's not scriptural, but when you use the title universal church, then you begin to blur what the church is and blur what the family of God is. All right. Most people argue about who's allowed to take the Lord's Supper. Well, some people use proofs from the universal church instead of the local church to decide who's able to participate.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Word of God, it's very clear. The church, the local New Testament church, partakes of the Lord's Supper. And the problem with those things is they overlap and you get misinformed.
So explain that triangle she has up there on there.
Okay. The top part of that triangle is a picture of my family, all the best parts of my family, all the ladies in my family. Amen. And they constitute the family of God. Anybody who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and puts his faith and trust in him and is saved is a part of the family of God automatically. Now, the lower right-hand corner is the church, all right? And to be a part of the church, you have to be saved and scripturally baptized, okay? The left-hand part of the corner is a flag of Israel, or a picture of what the flag of Israel would be, and that's the nation of Israel. The two bottom parts, the church and the nation of Israel, had one job, to propagate the gospel or the word of God.
Yeah.
Okay, their job was to lead folks to Christ. You can go to the nation of Israel and you can see the story of the Queen of Sheba. You can see the story of Ruth. You can see the story of Rahab, all right? Those are stories of what Israel was supposed to be doing. However, most of them had the attitude like Jonah. They didn't want to go. And eventually what happened was God took them off the olive tree and added the church into the olive tree and the Gentiles. Our job is to do that, all right? And you cannot do the will of God without being a part of one of those two entities at the right time.
Okay, well, that's a good summary of that. The thing about Israel, I think a lot of people are confused about this, especially our preachers today. Israel was the propagator of the gospel, the word of God, for the whole Old Testament.
Right.
Those were the chosen people God chose. They brought the Messiah into the world, the body. They,
right.
They were the provider of the body. They provided, you know, of course, Mary that was used in the virgin birth. They were the custodians of the scriptures. The Bible calls it the oracles of God,
right.
Were given to Israel, not the Gentiles, to Israel. They were the scribes and the writers of it and the protectors of it. And salvations of the Jews, the Bible says.
Right.
I think a lot of people don't realize that if you were alive in during the book of Genesis or Exodus or, you know, anywhere back there, if you wanted to find God, you had to find a Jew, because he had the scriptures, he had the understanding, and they were saved. And it takes a saved person to, you know, to lead another person to the Lord. I'm not saying you can't be alone. I was alone when I got saved, but I had some. You already had some influence from somebody,
right.
over a period of time. But it's important to understand that Israel was the propagator of all this. And for the first 5.5 months after the cross, the entire church is Jewish. They're not reaching Gentiles. They're all Jews.
Well, they also had a problem with Gentiles being saved.
Yeah. They didn't want to reach Gentiles.
When Peter went to Cornelius, And they laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit gave them gifts, and all this stuff was going on. The Jews that were with Peter were upset. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. God's given what he gave to us to them. And I tell my people, we don't worship an American God. We worship the God of Israel.
Yeah.
It's Israel's God that we worship.
Yeah.
Now, God in his grace and his sovereignty allows us to do that. And I'm thankful I can be saved. I don't have to be a Jew to be saved. But the thing is, there's a stark difference between the nation of Israel and between Gentiles.
And we'll probably hit on replacement theology as we go along here. But first of all, let me just go back and start. What was your purpose? You wrote this book. You must have had a reason for that. What was your purpose in getting this out there?
It's a very simple read, and I don't go into a lot of terminology and all that kind of stuff. But basically, people need to understand what the church is. People need to understand what Israel is. We've got a lot of anti-Semitic people that are in churches today because they think they're right because they're the church and the church has replaced Israel. That's not true. We're here for a specific time to do a specific purpose. The big problem, though, is the family of God. When it comes to the rapture, it's not the rapture of the church.
That's right.
It's the rapture of the family of God.
Yeah.
Now, the church goes up because they're included in the family of God. But everyone that's in Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, goes up in the rapture. And a lot of pastors and a lot of people are under the impression that God's going to take the church. Some people think they're going to stay. There's going to be this group that stays behind and this group that's not watching. No, if you are saved and have accepted Jesus Christ according to the scriptures and repented of what you were holding on to for your salvation and went to Christ alone, then you're going up in the rapture.
Yeah. He's coming for the saints, which same thing as the family of God. Same thing. A saint is simply a saved person. He's coming for the, if he's coming for the church, there's a lot of people not going because they're not in the church.
Right.
So let me give a little illustration and let you make sure that I'm on the right page with you. I'm sure I am, but a young man is at the park and a couple walk up to him and they share Christ with him. Mm-hmm. He bows his head and trusts Jesus. Where is he in the triangle at that moment?
The family of God.
All right, so he's at the top. He's not in the church, is he?
No.
And he's not a Jew, so he's not in Israel. He's in the family of God. That's not the end of the journey, though, is it?
What's, no.
What's the next part?
Well, according to Acts 2:41, it says that they gladly received the word, and then they were baptized. And after the baptism, that verse goes on to say that they were added unto them. Now, the them is the 120
yep.
that constitute the church. A lot of people think the church started at Pentecost. It didn't start there. It started back in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people have arguments exactly when it started with Jesus. I just go to Matthew 16:18 and leave it there. Yep. I'm not trying to pinpoint. But in the book of Acts with Pentecost, that's when the church was empowered.
Empowered, exactly right.
Empowered. They got the filling of the Holy Spirit. Back in the Gospel of John, they got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which are two different words, which is a good study, but not for this time. The thing is, those men, that church at Pentecost did exactly what the church is responsible for. They led people to Christ, they baptized those saved people, and then they added them to the church for discipleship and to move them out to do more.
All right, so let's take this young man at the park. He bows his head. He puts his faith in Christ. They're all excited, and they invite him to church that following Sunday. He goes to church and he hears about. He gives his profession of. He tells them, "Yes, I got saved." And they invite him to be baptized. He gets baptized. Where is he in my triangle now? Now he's baptized.
He's in the church.
He's in the church. Did he leave this one to go to that one?
No.
Okay.
No, you can be in one or more area based on a minute.
In fact, you can't get out of that one, can you?
No, you cannot get.
You'd have to get unsaved to get out of the
family.
Well,
I don't know how you'd get unsaved because I didn't get saved in the first place. Jesus took care of everything.
That's right.
And usually when we'll talk about eternal security, you'll go to the family of God and you'll say, hey, if you're a child and this is your father, that's for life.
Yeah, you can't.
You've got his DNA. You can't get out.
Don't matter what you do, he's always your father. You're always his child.
Right.
You can be in jail for murder, and he's still your father.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't know why people struggle with that. It's this mentality from Satan that I've got to do something to earn my way to heaven, and I got to do something to keep it. That's a lie.
Well, that started all the way back with Cain. I mean, Cain offered what he thought was best.
Yeah.
But God wanted a picture of his son, which is what Abel did. When he killed that animal and put it on the altar by faith, trusting that God would accept it.
Now, here's a tougher one, and I don't think we've discussed this, and I don't think it's in the book. It might be. Let's take that young man again. He gets saved. He's now in the family of God.
Okay.
Man, they're all excited. They take him out to eat. They're bragging. They're sharing scriptures with him. They get him to church, and he gets baptized. He's now part of the church. Can that young man get into Israel?
No.
Okay.
The nation of Israel is made up of the direct descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few exceptions, and God made allowances in the Old Testament for strangers to be a part of the congregation.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, Ruth, Rahab, they're good examples of that. Ruth was a Moabite. Okay, but she was allowed in, and she's in line to Lord Jesus Christ in the heritage line.
Yeah.
Okay, so God did make, but those are exceptions. If you want to be part of Israel, you have to come from the direct bloodline of Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and then the 12 boys.
Okay, all right, we're going to go a little further here, but before we do, let me make sure the audience knows how to get this book that I keep holding up here. I imagine there's people a little curious now, and I think it helps to go through the triangle.
Yes, sir.
With an illustration like that.
I found by using the triangle, it helps explain what I'm trying to get across.
Yep. And so if you'd like to get a copy of this book, it's real simple. Go to our website, Crossing the Spotlight. Now, we may put his website at the time of this recording, about 4 weeks before this airs. We don't have a website yet. By the time this airs, you may see that on the bottom of your screen somewhere. But either way, you're welcome to go to Crossing the Spotlight. His book will be on our page. You'll see it. You can click on it. It'll take you straight to wherever it is you buy this. By the way, they're on Amazon. You can buy it in Kindle or paperback on Amazon if you want to.
Paperback's only for that one.
Okay, it's not Kindle. No. Okay, so only paperback on Amazon. Okay, and we'll try to get them to do something about that. There are Kindle people out there that would like to have it. And so you can look and see. And so it's, let's see, how many pages in here? 102 pages. This is a 100-page book. You can read this in an afternoon. You really can. And I had read from page 20 to page 100 between 9:30 and midnight last night. That's why I'm half asleep. But I read through the rest of it. It's easy to read. It's on the bottom shelf. There's not great big words like Dr. Hilterbiddle uses, the four-syllable words and things. I don't think there were too many big words in there.
No, I'm not.
He's got a three-syllable last name, Sanderson.
Yeah, but it's still an easy name.
But Dr. Hilterman, he grew up as a little five-year-old kid, Hilterbiddle. He had to learn to spell that as a five-year-old kid and say it. That's why he's so smart. He had that big name, you know. And he's German, too. So anyway, all right, let's move on. Proper interpretation of the church leads to correct outcomes. You got here your, what is your view of who's in the rapture in light of this? Who goes in the rapture?
Well, as we've covered, the rapture is essentially the rapture of the saints or the rapture of the family of God. Okay. So everyone that is in Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, will go up in the rapture. What that means is anyone that's saved, okay, in Christ, saved, goes up in the rapture. Now, what I've always told my church is this, that starts with Adam and ends at the last person saved before the rapture.
Wait a minute, brother. That's Old Testament. Them people are saved different, aren't they? And I'm being facetious.
No. I mean, if you were to look in Romans chapter number 4, verse 11 and verse 12, God clearly points out that we're doing what Abraham did. And that Abraham is our example of how to be saved. And that when we get saved by the example of Abraham, we become a child of Abraham. All right? We sing a song in junior church. Father Abraham had many sons.
And I am one of them.
We're following that example of Abraham's salvation. Now, if he got saved a different way, he was a lousy example.
Yeah.
And therefore, anyone that has gotten saved the exact same way that Abraham got saved and is alive before the rapture or dead and buried will go up in the rapture. It's the rapture of the saints.
Yeah. We on our program, many times we get this question a lot. Brother Goodwin or Dr. Hilterbiddle, or I know some people, they're not living right, but they're Christians, but they're backslid. Will they go in the rapture? And we always say the same. We do not believe in a partial rapture. He's coming for the saints. By the way, who thinks they're good enough to go to heaven? Who thinks you're good enough for the rapture? To think that I'm better than somebody else, I mean, come on. We're all sinners. We're all cut from the same dirty, filthy cloth. We're all saved by the grace of God. I did nothing. I did nothing to earn my way to heaven. To think that one guy don't get to go because he's not living as good as I am, that's pride. And it really bothers me when people say stuff like that.
Well, we have a society that's been created. I think it's always been this way, but it's really bad right now. We think we deserve something.
Yeah.
I deserve a government handout. I deserve a good job. I deserve to stay at home. I deserve.
Yeah.
The problem is the only thing we deserve is hell.
Yeah.
And once you get your thought wrapped around that, it's pretty easy to know you're going up in the rapture because I didn't deserve it anyway.
What is it Paul said? Paul, I always bring this up when people think they're somebody, because Paul said, we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we should. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He felt like he was the worst of everybody. And he's thought to be the greatest Christian that ever lived. And yet, look what he thought of himself. He had the right understanding. I'm nothing without him. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And thank God for the grace of God. That's why I'm saved.
Right.
And so there's no partial rapture. Everybody who's trusted in him, whether they've backslid, whether they're sitting in a bar drinking beer, if the rapture happens and they're saved, they're going up.
As long as you're in Christ.
Now, I do believe there'll be sorrow for some people. The Bible says some are going to they're going to be ashamed.
You can look back at Genesis, chapter number 18, chapter number 19, where you're talking about the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot did not want to leave, but God said he was righteous and he was saved.
Yeah.
And God had to drag him out of Sodom to pronounce judgment.
Yeah.
I believe there will be people at the rapture that would rather stay here than go to heaven.
Yeah.
Because their life shows that.
And that goes against our grain. And a lot of preachers don't, they struggle with that kind of talk. But I look at it the other way around. I say, why do you think you're so righteous? Why do you think you're so worthy of heaven? I think I say this all the time. The more I read this book and the older I get, the more I realize what Dan Goodwin is. I'm nothing but a stinking, rotten sinner. I'm not worthy to be in his presence. I'm not worthy to be in behind a pulpit or here on this camera. We're sinners. And when you start thinking you're worthy of it, that scares me. It scares me.
Well, take a look at the life of the Apostle John. When he saw Jesus Christ in all his glory, he fell down dead.
Oh, and that reminds Isaiah, the same thing. I saw the Lord high and lifted up.
But the ministry of John, when Jesus was on the earth, who was the closest to him? It was John. John had no fear while he was on the earth.
Yeah.
But the moment he saw God, he fell down dead.
Yep.
And I am not John.
In Isaiah, the same thing. I saw the Lord. And of course, Isaiah was a great man.
Yeah.
I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And it says, I fell on my face and cried out, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I mean, he fell on his face. I'm not worthy even to be in his presence.
Right.
And that's what we need. That's the humility and the attitude that we need to have. None of us deserves to go in the rapture. None of us deserves heaven. It's the gift of God, by the grace of God, that any of us is going to heaven. You got here, when the rapture occurs, you make the statement several times on the phone, and I think you make it in the book, without a right understanding of the church and the family of God, you can't understand the rapture, the timing of the rapture. Can you explain that
correct.
A little bit?
If you don't understand all three, you have to understand Israel as well. There are people that substitute, again, family of God, they'll call it the universal church, okay? And again, they'll mix those two together. So these people that are mid-trib or post-trib or Marvin Rosenthal's pre-wrath rapture, okay? They all will have to produce a church in that 70th week of Daniel.
Yep, during the tribulation, there's got to be a church.
Right. And I heard a man talk, he was teaching on the pre-wrath rapture out of Marvin Rosenthal's book. He said, look, see, there's the universal church. See, I was right. The rapture happens here. But here's the problem. The family of God is not the church.
Yeah.
And what he was saying was, see, there's saved people. There has to be a church. That's not true. There was no church in the Old Testament. It was Israel.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, there's the church. Now, when the rapture comes, the church gets pulled out, okay? Because the 70th week of Daniel is about the nation of Israel. It's not about the church anymore.
That's right, yep.
We've got our own business up in heaven. We get the Bema Seat of Christ, and we get the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be busy having a good time, like you say, cake and ice cream, okay? But on this earth, Israel has to deal with Jacob's trouble. And because of that, people have tried to manipulate where the rapture is because they confuse the family of God with the local New Testament church.
Yeah. And so during the tribulation, you know, especially in the second half, the 144,000 get saved. The Bible calls them the first fruits. They're gonna scatter. That's Matthew 24. They're gonna run for their lives. Woe to hers with child and old. They're gonna grab their families. They're gonna run for their lives. And there'll be a lot of martyrs over a period of time. But they're going to witness, there'll be multitudes saved, the Bible says, of every kindred, tribe, and nation. Mm-hmm. But there's still no church on the earth. So they'll Sounds like it's just the family of God during the tribulation. Of course, most of them are going to be martyred, but is that your understanding there?
Well, personally, I can't give you a definitive answer. I know there won't be a church there, but I do know Israel will be there. Okay?
Yeah.
So the impact that Israel has on those saved people, whether Gentile or Jews.
But Israel is kind of, at that moment, they're the family of God, kind of, right?
Well, yeah.
They just got saved.
Anybody that's saved is the family of God. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, bond or free.
So it's almost like the church is not there. It's now Israel and the family of God.
Yes, sir.
That's interesting.
On the earth. Because the church is in heaven.
Yeah.
And we'll be experiencing, again, the Bema Seat of Christ and the marriage supper.
I personally believe, and I could be wrong, I personally believe, like farming, you got your first fruits, your main harvest. First fruits, Christ is in the resurrection. Main harvest is the rapture. I believe there's a gleanings, and I believe it's at the end of the tribulation, because all those that died, what happens to their body? Laying on the ground or buried? It's got to join us, and I think there's a gleanings there. And
well, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse number 23, it gives that. It gives that, it talks about Christ's resurrection, mm-hmm. as the Christ is the first fruits,
yeah.
and then it goes on to say, at his coming, will be going up, and that's the harvest. And then it says, at that point, you have the end, which is the end of the church age and the beginning of the tribulation period. Now, he doesn't cover the tribulation period in that part of Corinthians. He covers taking the kingdom of God to heaven, which is our, again, Bema Seat of Christ and marriage supper of the Lamb. But on the earth, you have the tribulation period. And during that time is what's going to be in effect there. So I believe the nation of Israel is going to fill that role that the church would fill.
We got a minute and a half. You wanted to get to this thing about Romans 11, the olive tree. Can you do that in a minute, or is that not enough time?
I can try.
We don't have to. I mean, you said without the correct interpretation of the olive tree in Romans 11.
Well, if you don't understand the replacement theology is based on a false interpretation of the olive tree. The olive tree is Israel.
Yeah.
At the inception, at the creation of the church, and somewhere after that, you believe it's Stephen's time, the Israel was broken off the olive tree, the Gentile church was grafted in. At the time of the rapture, I believe that the church is broken off and Israel is put back in. And that's what Romans 11 talks about. And that olive tree is a picture of their responsibility to preaching the word of God in the world.
We got 30 seconds and 20 seconds. Look right in that camera or that camera. Tell them what they must do to get saved.
First of all, you have to let go of what you're holding on to be saved. If it's not Jesus Christ alone, you have to give up. If it's church membership, your family heritage, your good works, whatever that is, has to be let go. You have to give everything to Jesus and believe and trust that he was resurrected on the third day and that he'll do the same for you.
Man. All right. Well, get the book ordered. I think you'll like it. And thank you so much, my brother, for coming on. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.